welcome back to Cinema Gems. And as always, I'm your host, the Admirable Admiral. And as always, we are in a video store somewhere in your hometown, so come find us. Yes, video stores still exist. And you're probably wondering, wait, who are you talking to? Of course, the Honorable Tesla is here, blepping. I don't know if you can hear him, but he is blepping. And of course, the Fantastimus Frida is over there staring at me while holding the Honorable Tesla. But there's a very amazing package coming this way. It's the Butt Maestro's birthday pick. Butt Maestro, how's it going, buddy?
I am so hyped to talk about this movie. Hi, Admiral. Thank you. Thank you for letting me pick this for my birthday, because I'm excited to talk about it. Before we get into it, though, hi, y'all. Welcome back to Cinema Gems. We are another show on the internet where a bunch of opinionated nerds talk about the movies we love. And this week, like I said, the Admiral was so gracious as to let me pick one for my birthday. And in the year 2025, when certain political movements are unfortunately taking over the world and our country, it felt more appropriate than ever to talk about the movie based on the graphic novel that made fascism and hypermilitarism actually look kind of cool until you zoom out and realize it's a dystopian nightmare. We're talking about the Sylvester Stallone Judge Dredd.
Yes, from 1995. So, for people who aren't aware, a few weeks ago, we had, for our 500th episode, we had, of course, it was during, of course, Patron's birthday pick, so she got to pick Carte Blanche, as the Butt Maestro says, and I got to pick Carte Blanche for my birthday, so of course, we're literally going through a bunch of movies that we're going through, and I was like, oh, hey, we got Judge Dredd anniversary, and the Butt Maestro literally goes, I think we were in, like, March or April? And your response was, that's my birthday pick, put it aside. And I'm really?
So, okay.
Judge Dredd?
I have to give a little bit of background here. This was one of those movies that Butt Maestro Sr. allowed my brother and I to watch when we were way too young to be watching of such a violent movie like this. I don't know why Butt Maestro Sr. determined, of all of the things that he very happily banned in our household, this was totally allowed to watch whenever it came on TV, whenever it came on HBO or one of those. And we loved it. Of course, I loved the music since I was a little kid, and we'll talk a lot about Alan Silvestri later. This is a very fun, wacky, over-the-top, bombastic movie. And let's get into it.
Sylvester Stallone takes off his helmet within the first 10 minutes and doesn't put it back on until the end?
Yeah, more or less, because it's because it's Sylvester Stallone. It's because it's Sylvester Stallone. And I'm sure there was somewhere in his contract that the majority of his face had to be showing.
Well, when you get Sylvester Stallone, you want people to see that it's Sylvester Stallone from the full face and not just the nose down.
Agreed. I'm glad you brought up that point, though, because as far as I'm aware, that is one of the only things that really separates it from its graphic novel counterpart. Because the story of this movie is ripped directly from the pages of two of the original Judge Dredd graphic novel series.
Which, by the way, this is a British comic book strip series.
Yes.
It's not an American. It is a British one.
This comes to you from more or less the same people that thought of Warhammer 40K, aka Colonization the Game. They're British. This takes place in 2139 after the Earth has been ravaged by all kinds of nuclear wars and everything, and lots of things that should be alarming to us right now. And all of the Earth's populations are packed into one or two megacities that span from coast to coast, that span from top to bottom of an entire coastline of our country. And the police, the execution of law, has been narrowed down to street cops being judge, juries, and executioners on the spot, because they literally do not have time for elongated due process. There are too many people and not enough people enforcing the law.
Ooh, due process.
Yeah, right? Remember that.
Oh, Do you not want to talk about James Earl Jones's cameo? Voice cameo only?
The first voice you hear in the movie.
It's so chilling.
Talking about the wasteland of this world. And the very backwards, and I hope it's clear, satirical and dark humor. Like, this is also, just like the 40K verse, this is supposed to be very tongue-in-cheek. This is supposed to be so exaggerated that it shouldn't be possible to ever happen.
I have a few fun facts for the Butt Maestro to talk about for my birthday gift to him. I gave him his birthday gift when we were in person a few weeks back. But did you know that the director of the movie, actually, Danny Cannon, is British. He's a fan of the comics, and he also made a mock-up poster.
I hope so.
Like, I think it was 7 years before this movie came out, he made a mock-up poster where Harrison Ford was supposed to be Judge Dredd, and Ridley Scott was to direct. Wow. That would have been a completely different movie.
That would have been a completely different movie. Absolutely. I think, actually, I'm afraid they would have given Dredd too much personality.
Yeah.
Especially with it being, like, this city already looks like the what is it, Neo Los Angeles in Blade Runner?
I know what you mean. I'll look up the exact one before we get any emails. But yes.
Like, there have already been, one of the main criticisms toward this movie over the last several years is that it already looks too much like every other cyberpunk, every other semi-futuristic city,
Los Angeles 2019,
that we had seen that we had seen up to that point, including starting with Blade Runner.
I also thought of Coruscant years later. I was like, oh wow, Coruscant.
But like, I hope we can all come to the conclusion that it's hard to make a futuristic city, a fictional futuristic city, without taking inspiration from one of these movies.
And also, by the way, it's all miniatures, so yay.
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 Yay practical effects. No, the effects in this movie, for the most part, actually pretty good. I say for the most part. There's a few pretty laughable big fireballs.
I love that the giant judge, I guess courthouse would be the preferred term, is just a giant eagle. And all I have to say is that, like, the Nostalgia Critic said it best, it looks like Sam the Eagle building. That's what it looks like. It looks like Sam the Eagle if he was a building.
Sylvester Stallone, at least in terms of physique and how much space in a room he takes up, is kind of perfect for this role for so much of it. Like, the first half of this movie, especially one of my favorite scenes in the movie where he's in kind of the weapons room briefing and teaching and introducing these candidates, these new guys who all want to be judges, these prospects, and telling them, like, this is not an easy job. You are going to give your whole life to it, and it's going to give you nothing back. Just fair warning. You are dedicating your whole life to this book. Like, I loved it. He fully sunk into the role of this character. As, yeah.
Yes, but the downside is the director, Danny Cannon, was he did, like, a few other things beforehand. But Danny Cannon said straight up, he goes, I never want to work with pretentious actors again, including Sylvester Stallone. He thinks that Sylvester Stallone was more of a person that was like, oh, I want my way, because the movie did have to be rewritten because Sylvester Stallone didn't like it. So I understand what you're saying, but I'm also saying that Danny Cannon has been like, yeah, we had to rewrite a bunch. Well, that's your birthday pick as well. You get a swear word.
Hey, I'm just happy I wasn't the one that did it.
Yeah. The Honorable Tesla ear flaps will be coming in.
There we go. I know we've been talking a lot about Sylvester Stallone. I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about how freaking awesome Diane Lane is as Judge Hershey.
Oh, perfect.
She, absolutely perfect. She is the perfect foil for Dredd. She's the perfect thing to pull him in and keep him human. And remind the audience that no, this dude is not in fact human. He is a clone specifically bred for this purpose. He's
Oh,
not going to
we're talking
exhibit.
spoilers from a 30-year-old movie? I mean, yeah, 30-year-old movie.
I mean, yeah, why not? Spoilers from a 30-year-old movie that also contains spoilers from an even older graphic novel. Because, like I said, certain aspects of this movie, namely the whole clone thing and him having a clone brother, are pulled right from the pages.
Rico.
Rico's intense. Like, what a villain.
Rico is
Like, I know you can
intense.
argue that the villain is actually the internal workings of the judge
The
system.
bureaucracy.
The bureaucracy of this system and very powerful and corrupt people wanting to use that bureaucracy to benefit themselves. Wow, what a powerful villain. Frickin' Armand Asante.
No,
He's
I
insane.
100%. Oh, we
Go to
got
your
ear flaps.
flaps. Go
He
to
was
your flaps.
excited about
Everyone drink
Rico too.
water.
I think Rico was his favorite character too.
What an intense villain. He's fine.
Rico is one of those people where you're just like, okay, you need a definite chill pill and like three sessions of therapy right now. Like, right now. I have a question for you about Maestro.
What you got, bud?
Who do you think said law better, Rico or Dredd?
I mean, both of them, and I'm pretty sure you mentioned the nostalgia critic a minute ago. I'm pretty sure he also put together a montage of them going la 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 la.
Everybody talks about how he says 20 years or law or law. I personally really like when he shoots Lance Hendrickson in the face.
All right, guys, so I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I am wrong at this point. That is not Lance Hendrickson. It is James Remar, who is very well known for playing Harry Morgan in Dexter. Yes. And also, guys, to go ahead and get this out really quick, Danny Cannon was the director. And the release date was June 30th, 1995. The runtime's about 96 minutes. The budget was between 85 and 90 million, so maybe 87.5. Was a gross of 113.5 worldwide, so pretty bad. It's got a 21% on Rotten Tomatoes. Guys, look, that Judge Dredd is playing in the background, so back to your regularly scheduled program.
And goes death. I'm just like that little soundbite of a Sylvester Stallone saying death is so poignantly beautiful.
Oh my goodness.
Like, it's amazing. And it's also he shoots Lance Hendrickson. Like, he's in this movie for 2 seconds.
You mean Max von Sydow?
Yes, I'm so sorry. Completely messed up that. Yes,
There you
Max
go,
von
Admiral.
Sydow.
Max von Sydow, aka the actor that we all thought was going to be the Sith Lord when we heard that he got cast in Force Awakens. Remember that, like 10 years ago?
A long time ago, before the dark times.
He's
Before.
perfect. He's perfect in this. I think he's absolutely 100% perfectly believable as not just Judge Dredd's mentor, but the mentor to all the judges, and the guy who has done a few shady things to ultimately do the right thing, and then like walks out into the desert and accepts his punishment. Like he's like, you know what? I still believe in the law. I still believe in helping and protecting people. But if I gotta step away, I gotta step away.
Oh, we're talking about
Judge
what about
Fargo.
Yurgen? Yurgen,
Remind me
the
who
guy,
Jurgen is.
the
Oh,
that I mean
Jurgen
that's
Prochnow.
the actor's name.
Judge Griffin.
Yes.
What, the guy who thinks he's the villain in the movie until Rico shows up and proves that no, I'm the real villain.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about how so basically Judge Dredd gets framed for killing a TV personality. And so then he gets exiled into the desert, and the plane crashes because the redneck army Swiss man.
I just want
I
to
mean,
point
let's.
out that even in this work of absurd fiction, the first thing fascists do when they're trying to do a hostile government takeover is murder the media and silence the media, silence any potential critics.
Exactly.
Just want to point that out. Even in this totally absurd thing, that's pretty accurate.
Yes.
We're seeing it right now.
I mean, look, the other day, I mean, to us, this happened yesterday, but the other day when CBS, when the head of CBS resigned.
Yep.
That's really sad.
Yep. But anyway, Judge Dredd gets
60 Minutes. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
The head of 60 Minutes.
Anyway, Judge Dredd gets framed for murdering one of the biggest faces in the media. But it's actually Rico who, when getting out of prison, picked up all of his old judge uniform and stuff. There's all this contrivance within the DNA that gets picked up in the bullets from the Lawgiver 2, which, by the way, one of the coolest sci-fi weapons ever. I freaking love the Lawgiver 2.
Wait, is that the gun or
that's
the robot?
That's the gun. That's the gun.
Double whammy.
I mean, like, where... All I'm saying is, where's my Judge Dredd video game? Because you have...
I mean, it's been on the SNES, bro.
I mean, like, a Doom-like boomer shooter where you have 10 guns in one.
Oh. Okay. Hot shot. Like, come on. The things I said... Armor piercing. Like, the bullets kept getting better.
It's so absurd. It's so insane. Like, there's no reason a police officer should need all of this armament in one gun, but that just goes to show that they're not police officers. You see, kids, laws are just threats made by the dominant socioeconomic group of a given nation, and cops are just an occupying army.
Yeah, no, that's an accurate description. That's why we should demilitarize the police.
I'm quoting a very famous Brendan Lee Mulligan bit.
Okay.
But I also do genuinely believe, and I think it's very fitting for this.
So Judge Dredd gets framed. Then he gets thrown out into the desert on a ship. Ship explodes because the redneck army Swiss man wants to kill him.
The Angel family, who are cannibals.
Technically, yeah. No, you know what? There's no technical about it. They are cannibals.
They say right there, like, Judge tells Fergie, who I can't believe we haven't talked about this yet, but can we call this Rob Schneider's best role? Only because the bar is so absurdly low.
I would agree with you, but Joe Pesci was supposed to be that person first, and then he turned it down?
I would have preferred Joe Pesci, actually. Okay. Joe Pesci would have been way better for this.
Yeah, Joe Pesci was offered the role, turned it down, and then immediately offered to Rob Schneider. Which, by the way, did you know Arnold was supposed to be Judge Dredd but couldn't do it?
Arnold would have been fun as Dredd.
Okay, cool. This is probably going to be a lot of grief, but an email. So if you want to email us at cinemagems15@gmail.com, I would have preferred Arnold over Sylvester Stallone.
I think I agree.
Okay, cool. Let us know. What you think?
Oh, please let us know. And look, we'll open you up to another question at the end of this show, because we've up to this point, we've avoided comparing this to the Carl Urban Dredd movie. We'll get there when we get there.
Well,
okay. Hold your horses.
If you want to bring it up now,
take hands off the keyboard.
If you want to get into the nitty gritty right now, I'm just going to let you know that the Carl Urban Dredd is light years ahead of this one. Only because of the movie The Raid.
So all I'm going to say in comparing these two movies is that they are in two different genres. Two entirely different genres. They were not trying to make the same movie. It carried the same IP. It carried a lot of the same aesthetic details. But they were not at all trying to make the same movie.
This is more of an action-based comedy where...
This is a sci-fi far future dystopian megacity sci-fi thing with big bright lights and billboards and flying cars and everything super futuristic while also being run down. Meanwhile, the Carl Urban movie is a lot more closer in aesthetics and feeling like it's closer in time to our world than the one we're talking about today.
Yeah, and we will record the Dredd Carl Urban one if y'all want us to. I prefer that one over this one for more reasons than you may think. So you want to talk about those cannibals, or do you want to move on to Rob Schneider and his flame things?
Oh, God. Yeah, the cannibals are insane, and yeah, Rob Schneider trying to get through the fiery obstacle course. I really thought Dredd was going to leave him behind.
So,
like, that's not even me rooting against Rob Schneider, the actor. That's literally me thinking it actually wouldn't be totally out of character for this guy that we now know is a clone that has had all human sympathy robotically taken out of him. Wouldn't be out of character for him to just leave this normie behind.
So, funny thing, in the production, they used real flames, correct?
Oh, God. I mean, it certainly looks like it.
So, Sylvester Stallone was given flame retardant clothing.
Oh, God.
Rob Schneider was not.
Oh, boy.
No.
How burned did Rob Schneider get?
That's all I have to say about that. So, can we move on to the clone fight with the clones? Man, those clones were amazing. Yeah.
They were pretty intense. That whole finale fight of this movie. And look, I want to talk briefly about kind of all of the mystery leading up to that with Judge Hershey and the trainee Olmeyer, who apparently is a tech genius, doing everything they can to poke holes in this stuff. I loved that aspect of this movie. I actually could have lived with more of that. The mystery outside of Dredd and normal people who aren't super soldiers trying to figure stuff out. I love that.
It is.
I wish we would have had more of that.
It's such.
But that does all lead very well into the clone fight.
It's such an interesting. It's such an interesting movie. Like this movie.
It has a bunch of layers.
Yeah. And sometimes they're thinly veiled layers, but other times they're not.
Like, again, I know this movie is loud and big and bombastic, and I'm getting to the music eventually, but it has layers to it, and it is trying to say something about militarism and fascism and a military state and a small handful of people having too much power over too many people. It does have some genuinely good things to say about all that. But yeah, clone fight.
Clone fight!
Pretty sick. Pretty sick.
I like the that the muscles were just basically there was no skin, but the muscles were there. That was so cool.
Yeah, because they were undercooked.
That was so cool.
The computer was trying to tell Rico, nah, dude, your clones are undercooked. They're not going to be right. And he was like, do it anyway. So they came out undercooked.
They were so cool, man. They were so cool looking. So you mentioned the music.
This
score. Do you want to say my thing first or your thing first?
Go for it, because I have quite a bit to say about Alan Silvestri.
Okay, so I told about my show that he couldn't look this up on the internet before we were recording. But did you know that Alan Silvestri was not the first choice for the composer?
I did not, and we would not be living in the same world if Alan Silvestri had not scored
it. Actually supposed to be the amazing Jerry Goldsmith.
Was it actually? Hold on.
It was actually supposed to be him, but the production was moving too slow.
Admiral, I'm going to unactually you here. First on the docket was David Arnold. And then Arnold, because he had collaborated with the director, Danny Cannon.
Correct.
He stepped out and then was going to be replaced by Jerry Goldsmith. But he had schedule issues.
Correct. And then we got Alan Silvestri.
It would have been a different movie.
You know what? He does an amazing job, but I kind of want to see Jerry Goldsmith's theme. Sorry. It was the one used in the trailer.
So if you go watch
the trailer,
okay,
that's the Jerry Goldsmith music.
Cool.
But hey, I'm not saying anything against Alan Silvestri. I just wanted the Bummeister to know that because I know how much him and I love Jerry Goldsmith.
This is, I'm going to say, in my top three, top five favorite Alan Silvestri themes. I love the Judge Dredd theme so much. I think it goes so absurdly hard. and it makes the absurdity of what you're seeing on screen not feel all that absurd, because the music is just as big and just as bombastic and just keeps hitting you over the head with this ostinato and these big loud horns and full brass section. And I know you might argue that the what I sung at the beginning of the show is Judge Dredd's theme, the theme for the character. I would argue that the musical motif for the character is just the snare drums. It's just a...
Just the snare drum? Just...
It's, and it, anytime you hear what sounds like 20 snare drums all going... I think that's Sylvester Stallone Dredd's, like, character motif in the movie. It's just a...
I mean, I don't disagree with you. I just find it interesting that it's just the snare drum.
It's just the snare drum. Because the rest of the big bombastic brass, I think, represents the judges as a whole and the system of too few people having too much power over too many people. But it's big. It's bombastic. It gets you hype. And I just, like, wish I could get my horn and play in that studio ensemble and just be blowing my face off. It's just a really, really fun score, and it's one of my absolute favorite Alan Silvestri scores. Right up there with the Avengers theme from Endgame, Night at the Museum. He did Ready Player One, but that's because he had already done so many of the works that led up to Ready Player One. He did The Mummy, he did Lilo and Stitch, Stuart Little. You've heard his music, you know his music. He did The Quick and the Dead, which I currently have DVD sitting right next to my laptop here.
And he also did Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. I can't believe I didn't mention that. You're absolutely right.
1, 2, and 3.
He did Flight of the Navigator. He's done so much. The Mario Brothers movie that we reviewed like 2 years ago.
Oh man, that movie. That, you know what? That's one of the worst movies we ever reviewed.
Yeah, all of the criticisms that people put on this movie of looking too similarly to Blade Runner, no. I need you to cut and then paste those criticisms onto the Super Mario Brothers movie.
I 100% agree with you. This is more Super Mario Brothers based than Blade Runner based, 100%.
So guys, they mentioned a very interesting Easter egg of the... They had given locations of street corners, and one of them is on the corner of Abbott and Costello, and on the corner of Burns and Allen. And as an amazing old school comic lover, of course I know that Abbott, it's Bud Abbott and Lou Costello, is on the corner of Abbott and Costello. I just wish there was just a person there going, who? You know, for a little bit even more of a juxtaposition of some completely random joke that no one else would get but probably me. And also guys, I completely forgot to let y'all know that Danny Cannon turned down Die Hard 3 to direct this one. Wow, that's harsh. And also Danny Cannon also proclaimed that this was going to be the Ben-Hur of comic book movies, but Sylvester Stallone had different plans, because you know he's Sylvester Stallone, and Cannon's vision, the distributor, was compromised. I mean, look, guys, that's a little bit of fun facts I had afterwards. I'm just going to add it in real quick. So, guys, and of course, as always, Judge Dredd is playing in the background. Thanks, guys. Back to your regular scheduled program.
All right. So, we have reached that part of the episode, guys, that I get to ask the Bum Maestro question, and it is his birthday. So, he gets to go ahead and say the rating. So, Bum Maestro, do you want to specify like the rating? Or do you want me to ask you?
Well, here on Cinema Gems, we have a very simple little rating system. Whole gem, what does that mean, Admiral?
That's an amazing movie, good sir.
A half gem?
That's movies all right. You know, it's okay. It's pretty good. It's not great.
And no gem at all.
Horrible movie. Don't waste your time watching it.
This is a whole gem for me, and I'm not sorry.
Hey.
Yes, it's absurd. Yes, it's bombastic. Yes, it's ridiculous. But it's also a satirical black humor mirror into what our future as humanity could be like if we keep going in the directions that we're currently going. In fact, it's kind of scary that I think we're closer to a Judge Dredd future than we are a Star Trek Gene Roddenberry visioned future. And that is sad and depressing to
me. Well, we could use the Judge Dredd future to get to the Star Trek future. We just have to go through it because of the Bell Riots. Yes.
You're right. You're right.
I said the Bell Riots again. Deal with it.
But I just want to point out, I call this a whole gem movie. It is a completely, it is apples and oranges to the Carl Urban movie, which we will give that rating when we get there. But I also love that movie for a different reason. They are different genres. They exist in different categories.
And I do have a little Funko Pop of Judge Dredd, and I don't know if it's the Carl Urban or the Sylvester Stallone, because it does have the little cod piece, the badge.
It has the cod piece. How obnoxious is, like, the gold shoulder pads, the football pads?
You mean the one that has the eagle on one side?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's Stallone.
Before we talk about his outfit and how fascist it is, I want to give my rating. So my rating,
please,
is
please.
A mid half gem. So sorry about Maestro. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I said at the beginning of this show, I have a bias toward this movie because of nostalgia goggles.
And it's fine. That's how I felt about Bedazzled. But the thing I have to tell you about this is that this is more of a guilty pleasure movie for me than anything.
I agree.
Like, if I'm editing, like, the podcast, I will probably put it on later. Like, this is the kind of movie I put on for background noise and only watch the fun parts, like Double Whammy. Or when Judge Dredd is introduced and the camera pans up, why does his package need a badge? Why? Can you answer that, Maestro?
No, I really can't. Especially since, seeing as he's a clone, he's probably a Ken doll.
Probably, but no.
I'm just going to point that out there in case you needed that mental image in your head. You're welcome.
Thank you. No, but to be honest with you, the outfits are amazing, but they're fascist as hell. Like, they're super fascism. I don't even know if that's a thing. Fascism on steroids. I also, when you talked about Rob Schneider being funny, the only joke I really laughed at was when Judge Dredd was taking off the other guy's outfit, and Rob Schneider goes, "We don't have time for that." And Sylvester Stallone, like, gives him a weird look. To me, I laughed so hard at that, I had to pause it for a second. Sorry about my show. That was one of my favorite scenes.
Well, look, we want to know what y'all think about this movie. How did we do? What did we miss? Please let us know by emailing us at cinemagems15@gmail.com. I had fun talking about this movie, and I'm probably going to watch it again while I'm editing and sending the thing to you, Admiral.
You better. That's the tradition. So, guys, look, before we go any further, I just want to thank Marty and the Eric Nzerber for allowing us to be on their website, lowrampictures.com. Also, Kevin George, thank you for letting us use your music. And also, guys, remember to take time for yourself before you can help others. It's okay to relax, think about things before you say them. And, you know, guys, just breathe. We're all humans. We all have things going on in our brains and bodies and life. It's okay. Watch this movie to, like, not numb yourself from the existential crisis that's happening, but to just, like, wow, this movie was made in the 90s and it basically predicted the 2020s. Whoa.
Remember that all of the people around you, most of the people around you on a daily basis, are struggling just as much as you are. Remember that you have so much more in common with a homeless person than a billionaire. And remember that the people around you, you have a lot more common than differences between the people around you. Whether they look different, whether they sound different, they act different, they think in a different way, you probably still have a lot more common with them than a street judge.
That's accurate. Yes, that is very accurate. But Maestro, thank you for picking this for your birthday pick.
Heck yeah, thank you for letting me.
No problem, bud. You know you have carte blanche. But guys, remember, take time for yourself, but also remember to wipe your hooves and see you later. But remember, Black Lives always matter, guys.
Love y'all.
Bye, guys. See you later. I am the law. 20 years.
Bye, y'all.
Death. 20 years.